How many of you found your place? Hebrews 12:15. Would you say amen?
Amen?
Good. Let's read that together, if you would, please. I'll read out loud. You follow me along. The Bible says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. There's a whole lot in that one little verse. Go back and look at it again. He says, looking diligently, steadfastly, every day, oftentimes, looking diligently. And he says here that lest any man or woman or young person fail of the grace of God. We touched on this a little bit last week, but God will give you grace. And grace is simply the ability to do the will of God in every area and circumstance of life. Let me illustrate that this way. God gives you grace in the time of need. God gives you the grace to face things that you didn't think you'd have to face. The death of a loved one. That dreaded big C word, cancer. God gives you grace in the time of need, but the grace of God can be resisted. And what this verse is referring to is God will give you grace to do what is right toward your fellow man. If that means having to go to your fellow man and to ask for forgiveness and to make reconciliation, God gives you the grace to do that, but you can resist that grace. You can say no to that grace. By the way, there's another point in the message, but let me just say this. Forgiveness is an act of your will. You may not feel like forgiving somebody, but harboring a grudge and letting that develop into bitterness, you're walking in the flesh and you're not walking in the spirit. And forgiveness is an act of the will. Do you think that those that nailed Jesus to the cross deserve forgiveness? No. But what did Jesus say as he hung on the cross? Father, help me out now, everybody. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The very ones that nailed him to the cross would be the ones to be asking for forgiveness. Should be. But instead, Jesus said, Father, forgive them. They didn't ask for forgiveness. They had wronged him. He had not done anything wrong. They had mistreated him. They had spit upon him, pierced his hands, his feet, drove a spear in his side. And yet Jesus could say, Father, forgive them. I doubt if anybody in here has been nailed to a cross or had a spear in your side, but you may have endured some type of injury. When we talk about forgiveness, many people mask this over. And we talk about bitterness. They don't want to admit that they are bitter. Some people get bitter against their fellow man, and eventually it evolves into bitterness against God. Young couples sometimes, in the death of a child, will get bitter on God. They'll blame God for that little baby dying, and they'll get out of church and they'll turn their back on God. They're blaming God, and they get bitter toward God, and then they take it out on everybody else. Forgiveness is an act of the will. I, in my spirit, I don't have the power in my body to forgive, but with the Holy Spirit of God, if I ask for His help, God gives me the grace to do what is right, and to forgive those that have wronged me and have hurt me and have mistreated me, those that have put the knife in my back and turned it, God says, forgive them. I'd love to tell you this morning that in 40-some years of ministry that it's been a bed of roses, but the truth of the matter is, it has not been. I would love to tell you this morning, Joanne, that in 40 years, everybody loves the preacher. But you know that's not true, is it? Brother Steve, I would venture to say that in the years that you guys have ministered in music, that you probably have offended some people somehow, some way. Some just didn't go right, and they got ill at you. Am I not right? If you deal in business, if you deal in any kind of, with people, you're going to have hurt. And many people today, they disguise bitterness and they use this term, well, I've been hurt. That's just another way of saying that I have been offended. I've been hurt, yes, but there's bitterness. Now watch this verse, then the message. Oh, this is evolving into a three-week message. Verse 15, so I have to look diligently. I cannot just passively ignore the situation. I would love to tell you that everybody loves the preacher, but that's not the case. Amen? But if I allow that to harbor in my life, and if I get bitter towards somebody else that have said something unkind and have said something that is hurtful, you know who the prisoner is? It's not that person out there. I'm the prisoner. I'm the one that is being held. I'm the one that is in bondage. I'm the one that every day that I get up, if I don't deal with the bitterness and the hurt and the feelings that I have, it's going to literally destroy me. Now watch this verse. Looking diligently, lest any man, woman, fail of the grace of God. Now watch this. Lest any root. How many of you grow a garden? Lift your hand. Amen. Brother Larry, what are you growing? Squash. Is that all you got, squash? Okra and corn, all right. Who else is growing a garden? All right. Pam, what do you got? Okay. Honey, are you writing all this down so when it starts coming in? Larry's got squash, okra, taters here, tomatoes over here. Right. Charlie's got four pepper plants. I know. But everybody that grows a garden or has something, you know that the key is the root. And in order for that plant to survive, it's got to have a good root system. In order for the bitterness to survive in your life, the root, we've got to get to the root of the matter. You cannot just treat the surface problem. You've got to get to the root problem. You've got to go down to that root if you're going to deal with the bitterness. And if you don't deal with the bitterness, it will destroy you. But notice something, not only you. Look what this verse says. And look in verse 15. Thereby, read this next word. And thereby, how many? Say it again. Many. Many be defiled. By a show of hands, how many of you would say this? I'm not talking about your family, your immediate family. But have you ever noticed that somebody gets their feelings hurt and maybe it's in a... Maybe it's in a divorce, and they get you know, this husband and wife, they get mad at each other, and they split, but then all of a sudden it just doesn't affect husband and wife. But have you ever noticed that it affects the kids as well? What's happened? The root of bitterness has now sprung up. It is now growing, and now it has touched other people. It is touching the children's lives. And now they are becoming bitter towards that other person. I'm preaching on the enemies of your home. One of the enemies of your home is that I ask the question, are you a prisoner of bitterness? You see, with bitterness, that other person that you're mad at and ill at, and just right now, while I'm talking and while I'm preaching, their name comes to your mind, and what they did to you is a flashback of how they have mistreated you. Right now it comes up that you can recall in detail, and it happened 10, 15 years ago. You can recall in every detail of what happened. And you're a prisoner. You say, I'm not a prisoner. You see that other person is living their life and they're just going on their merry way, and you're harboring this bitterness. There are six things that bitterness will do to you. And let me give, we already preached on two of those last week. We're trying to get as many as we can through today. But notice, if you would, if you're writing these down, number one, bitterness will devastate you spiritually. Bitterness will destroy you spiritually. Why is that, preacher? There's two reasons why. Bitterness requires that you walk in the flesh and not in the spirit. Paul tells us in Galatians, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Paul says that the opposite of this walking in the Spirit is walking in the flesh. And part of bitterness in your life is walking in the flesh of this world, harboring those hard feelings. You cannot be, and I'll be bold enough to say this, you cannot be right with God and have bitterness in your heart. You say, preacher, you just don't understand. You don't know the hurt. You don't know the pain. You don't know what they did to me. You don't know what it cost me. I may not know all the details, but I know this, that you cannot be right with God and harbor bitterness in your heart. There's no way. Second of all, bitterness destroys you. It destroys you spiritually. Two reasons why. Because you cannot be in the spirit. You got to walk in the flesh. Number two, let me say this to you, is that because bitterness will halt your spiritual growth. Growing in grace is not an instantaneous process. It is a lifelong process of taking. Let me ask you this. When God saves you, how many have been saved for over 5 years? Raise your hand. You all right? Now follow me along with this. Are you not more spiritually minded today than you were 5 years ago or 10 years ago? Can you not handle some things today that you, if it was 5 years ago when you first got saved, you say, I don't know if I could handle that or not, preacher. I've grown in grace. Well, bitterness will stop you in your tracks. It will halt your spiritual progress. There is no way that you can grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ if there is bitterness in your heart. No way you can do it. Brother Larry back yonder mentioned that he's growing some squash. They tell me you can grow squash in 6 weeks. But it takes 100 years to grow an oak tree. And the same is true. How many of you in this building this morning, and be honest with me, be honest with the Lord, you'd say, preacher, I want to grow in grace. I don't want to be a stagnant Christian. I want to grow in the grace of the Lord. Say amen. How many of you say, I want our church to grow? We're praying on Wednesday nights. We've got this. We're praying that folk will get serious about serving Jesus. And we want to see God bless. And we want to see our church grow, not just in number-wise, but also in maturity-wise. We want to see God's grace evident in our church. Would you say amen? Amen. How many of you want to be all you can be for Jesus? Say amen. Amen. Well, then if you do, you cannot allow bitterness to invade your life. It'll stop you dead in your tracks. Number two, it'll destroy you physically. It's like I mentioned last week, it's like a washing machine that's running all the time. It's not just an occurrence, it's a lifestyle. It enters your subconscious mind. It runs while you're sleeping, while you're eating, while you're watching television, and you think you've got your mind blanked out inside of you. That bitterness, it's eating away, it's growing, and it's just gnawing away on the inside. Bitterness has been medically linked to glandular problems, high blood pressure, cardiac disorders, ulcers, and even insanity. One leading psychiatrist wrote, 90% of all people in insane asylums could be released immediately if they would learn how to forgive or how to be forgiven. Bitterness will destroy you physically. Now, number three this morning, if you're following me along, bitterness will discourage you emotionally. I need a volunteer. Somebody, Christian, you raised your hand. You don't mind helping me out, do you? I didn't think you would. All right. This is an easy task. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to turn around and face the audience. All right. I want you to take the songbook in your right hand. All right. I want you to hold it straight out. All right. And just hold it there. Don't let it down. Don't let it drop. Bitterness will destroy you or discourage you emotionally. Where there is bitterness, there is discouragement. The two go hand in hand. Bitterness leads to paranoia. You think that everybody is out to get you. You start developing a victim's mentality, that everybody is surrounding you. Everybody is out to get you. And all of a sudden, you begin to dream things and think things that are really doesn't happen. I've been in church before where people would say, hey, I know that nobody likes me. I know that nobody wants me to be there. So-and-so, they didn't shake my hand. And they form everything, Joanne, around one little thing that may have happened, and because of that bitterness growing in their life, all of a sudden they've got this mentality that everybody's against them. Is that getting heavy? It's not getting heavy? Okay, well, just keep on hanging there. Let me know when it starts getting heavy. You become very negative. You become very critical. When bitterness invades a person's life, have you let it drop any? I have a point. When bitterness invades your life, all of a sudden you become critical. You know, it's like, well, the preacher didn't shake my hand. Or, I don't like the color of that carpet. You know, the choir, they were off key this morning. And that organist, she didn't hit the right notes. And that singer, he didn't. And all of a sudden you become critical because that bitterness is starting. It's like a poison. It starts coming out through your pores. Is it getting heavy? Should have got a bigger book. Here's my point. She's done told me your arm dropped some. I know that. Thank you, buddy. Were you getting tired at all?
No.
Okay. Here's my point. Bitterness is like this songbook. It's not very big. It probably doesn't weigh maybe a pound. Craig's a very strong, strapping fella. Christian is too. But if you took and you tried to hold this out, and we don't have enough time this morning. After a while, that 1 pound gets very heavy. Even though initially, it's not much. Initially, you could say, I could hold this all day long. No, after about 5 minutes or so, all of a sudden your arms start dropping. Christian started dropping a while ago. Why? Because it's the same way we carry bitterness along. At that first time that somebody hurts us and injures us, we say, hey, it's no big deal. It's nothing. And you carry that along with you. But then the longer you carry it, the heavier it gets, and it weighs you down, and it burdens you down, and then all of a sudden you don't realize it, but you have become a prisoner of bitterness. Something small, something insignificant, something that really didn't matter a whole lot. All of a sudden now it is a major obstacle in your life. It will destroy you. Are you with me? Are y'all listening? Amen. Number three, bitterness will discourage you emotionally. Number four, follow me along now. Number four, it will divide the fellowship of the church. We're all human. In case you haven't noticed, we're all human. Amen. Sometimes we give one another reason to be offended. I've had people before, honest to goodness, to get mad and leave church because somebody didn't shake their hand, not intentionally, but they just took it upon themselves that they got upset. I've seen people get upset over the smallest thing sometimes, and you know what it does? It will divide the fellowship of the church. I've seen people before to come into the house of God and they'll be carrying this load of bitterness. It shows on your face. It shows, and all of a sudden they won't speak to anybody. They don't want anybody to be around them, and they isolate themselves, and they carry this load of bitterness with them, and it will divide the church. Collisions will occur. You will run into one another in this fellowship. We can't avoid it, but we can control how we respond to that. Well, preacher, you just don't know what they said to me. No, I don't. You just don't know what they did to me. No, I don't. I don't mean to minimize your pain, but I don't mean to sound arrogant, but you're not the first person to ever be hurt in a church, in a fellowship. You're not the first person to be injured by some word that somebody has said. Look at verse 15 again. Now, let me illustrate this, and since Craig's sitting here, I'll pick on him. You and I are buddies, aren't we? We don't have anything against one another. We're friends, right? I want to establish that before we go any further. But let's just say that we had a disagreement. Let's just say that we had something to come up between us. Now here's how this works. God will give Craig grace and God will give me grace at the very moment that it happens. But now, I can be stubborn about it. I can be angry about it. I can run to James and say, "Hey, do you know what your son said about me?" And that's responding incorrectly. And then Craig goes home and he tells Sandy, he says, "You know what the preacher said about me?" And Sandy says, "Well, that will surprise me a bit." And she says, "You got to be kidding me. How dare he?" Now here's how it happens. God gives Craig and me grace. Let's say after I cool down and after he cools down, I come to him and say, "Brother, God's convicted me of how wrong I've been. And God convicted me of what I said to you. I'm asking, would you please forgive me for Jesus' sake?" And you would say, "Yeah." And then Craig would say to me, "Preacher, you know, I've been thinking about that too, and God's convicted me." Now, here is where the great, listen, and if I don't get no further, I know it's about time gone. Here's where it is. Y'all get this right now. This is where families come in a problem. God gives us grace. God does not give grace to this lady. God does not give grace to his daddy. God does not give grace to her. What happens is you take up an offense. And all of a sudden, bitterness sets in. You take up an offense. How dare he say that about my son? How dare he say that about my husband? How dare he say that about my daddy? And it spreads like a cancer. You see, Craig and I could get things right. And God gives us a grace to do that. But God does not give grace to Sandy. God doesn't give grace to Steve. Because he only gives grace to those that are offended. He does not give grace to those outside of the offense. This is why it's so important when somebody is offended that you don't take up offense. And it's easy to do. When they see their children hurt, they want to take up offense. They say, "Hey, wait a minute. I'll go down there and I'll straighten things out. That teacher down there at that public school, I'll tell you what, I'll go down there and give her a piece of my mind." Be careful. You may not have much to spare. Say amen. Be careful, though. You see, in every situation, if Joanne and I had a disagreement, God give us grace, but God does not give grace to the rest of the church. And that's why in a fellowship like this, we need to have the grace of God, and we need to be able to go to our brother for the sake of everybody else. Don't let an offense grow. Don't let something somebody said, something somebody did, don't let that grow and let bitterness set in your life. It will destroy you. You'll become a prisoner of bitterness. What is that, number four? Number five, quickly, notice something else. Notice number five. Bitterness will defile your relationships. That's kind of a spillover effect. You don't have to be bitter toward your spouse to ruin your marriage. In fact, you can be bitter toward your mom and dad and ruin your marriage. You can be bitter toward me and ruin your relationship with your children. Why is that? Look in Hebrews 12 again. "Lest any root of bitterness springing up," and read the last part of this verse, "and thereby many be defiled." It's a spillover effect. Be sure of this, my friend. Bitterness toward anyone, living or dead, will destroy your relationship with God. and it will destroy your home. And then last of all this morning, bitterness will deprive you of a blessing. How many of you, just by saying an amen, you'd say, "Preacher, I want God's blessing on my family, on my home, on my life." Amen. When you harbor bitterness, you'll bring that negative, critical spirit to church. You won't come looking for a blessing. Instead, when the choir sings, you'll find everything that's wrong. When the piano player plays, you'll find everything that's wrong. When the deacons serve, you'll find everything that's wrong. And you'll be looking for that. You'll be looking for something that just doesn't go right. I don't like those curtains, or, you know, this is, you know, those candles. They need to put some different colored candles up there. You'll look for something that you don't agree with. Verse 15, how do we get rid of this bitterness? Notice verse 15 again. And the key part here is there is a root of bitterness. You ever tried to get rid? I told my wife this morning on the way out, my yards begin to look like a jungle. The grass ain't growing. It's all this wild stuff, you know. And I've got to get out the weed killer. But you know something I've noticed about that weed killer? Is that you can spray it and it dies on the surface, and then a little while later it comes back, doesn't it? I still have not found. I want something that'll kill it. I guess, you know, set it on fire. I don't know, but something that'll just kill it all the way down. And if you know something like that, let me know. But in order to get rid of the plant, you've got to get down to the root. And you've got to deal with the root. If you're going to deal, the bushes is only evidence that there is something down there in the ground that is growing and thriving, and that every day it's feasting on the water, it's feasting on the sun, and you see the evidence as it's putting out. If you're going to get rid of the bitterness, you've got to go to the root of the problem. First of all, here's the key. Paul said this to Timothy, having a good conscience, that some have made their lives shipwrecked if you haven't had a good conscience. Paul said to Timothy, "Timothy, you're starting out in the ministry. If you allow the hurt and the pain to follow you wherever you go," he said, "you will make your life a shipwreck." Keith read this morning out of Ephesians, and Paul mentioned there about giving thanks. I don't get it. I really don't get it. How can you be down in the Mamertine prison? How can you? By the way, he wrote these prison epistles. He wrote these epistles down in a prison, and it's not like our prisons today where they have three square meals a day and air conditioning. No, Paul was in a literally dungeon. In the Mamertine prison, it was where they turned the sewage of the city down through there. And so it was covered with sewage and stench and the rats. And Paul said, "Never think of thanks." Paul said to Timothy, "Unless you learn to have a clear conscience, you'll make your life a shipwreck." Paul would not allow the mistreatment that he had gone through, the beatings and the scourging and the shipwreck and the nakedness, and when they beat him and drug him outside the city, left him for dead, and all the people that turned against Paul, he would not allow that. He would not be a prisoner of bitterness. Paul said, "God's got something more for me than that." It's easy to cut off the top of the flower, but you got to get to the root. How do you do that, preacher? You have a meek spirit. Oftentimes you may need to go to that person if they're living. If their face comes to your mind right now, it's pretty evident that God wants you to deal with something like that. If their name comes to your mind right now, it's pretty evident that God wants you to deal with that. You say, "Preacher, I wouldn't even know where to begin. I don't know what to say." I'll help you that. Here's the best way. If this was me and Craig, and I said a little bit of it a while ago, this is how I would phrase that. "God has convicted me of how wrong I have been in what I've said against you. I have asked God to forgive me, and now I'm asking you to forgive me." Don't expect that person to fall on their face and say, "Oh yeah, I forgive you." Sometimes they may or may not forgive you. But why? Why are you doing that? So that I'm out of this prison. So that I'm not behind these bars. So that I can have a right relationship with God. So that they don't plague my mind day in and day out. So that I'm not tormented with the thoughts of what they said and what they did. I'm freeing myself. I'm asking for forgiveness. But I am doing so as an act of my will. They may not, you may not, you say, well, they don't deserve that, preacher. I didn't say they deserved it. I'm saying, as a Christian, are you willing to get to the root of the problem? Back in the book of Exodus, the children of Israel crossed over the Red Sea. They were thirsty. They came to a place called Marah, and in literally that meant bitter. They could not drink of the water because it was poisonous. It was bitter. And God said to Moses, go and cut a tree down and cast the tree into the waters of Marah. And the waters were made sweet, and the people could drink of the water because of the tree. Can I tell you where you're going to find hope? At the tree, the cross of Calvary. When you come to the Lord Jesus and you say, dear Lord, you know, in my spirit, I can't do this. In my spirit, I want to hold a grudge. In my spirit, it's hard to forgive. But Lord, you forgave those that didn't deserve forgiveness. Help me to have the same forgiveness. Help me, Lord, to be like Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads for a moment, please. Joanne, Bonnie, would y'all come to the instruments? Let me ask you this morning, right now, every head bowed, every eye closed, we're not looking around to see who's going to lift a hand. We're not interested in jotting down how many people raise a hand and make a decision. But let me ask you this. While they began to play something softly, can you play Have Thine Own Way, Lord? Have Thine Own Way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Let me ask you this right now. Would you search your heart? Would you be honest with the Lord? And would you say, Heavenly Father, would you bring to my mind anyone right now that I'm holding a grudge against? Heavenly Father, would you bring to my mind any thoughts? Would you bring to my mind anything that I've said to injure somebody else? And Heavenly Father, help me to be honest with myself to deal with that. I wonder right now, every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody looking around, please, nobody looking around. But how many of you honest enough would say, preacher, right now, I can see somebody's face when I close my eyes. I can think of the words as though they were yesterday and they were years ago. Preacher, I can recall the hurt that I've been through, am going through. Preacher, right now, I don't want to be a prisoner of bitterness. I want God to be able to work in my life. I want God to be able to work in my church. I want my children. I don't want the root of bitterness springing up on my children so that they are defiled. Preacher, right now, there's somebody that comes to my mind, and by God's help, I want to deal with that this morning. Would you lift a hand across this room, across this room, across this room? Thank you. Amen. 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 Preacher, right now, somebody is coming in my mind right now, and I know that I need to deal with that right now in order to have a right relationship with the Lord. Anybody else? Anybody else? Would you be sincere enough? You know, bitterness is one thing that we can disguise it. We can just kind of put it out of our mind, but it's still there. It'll churn away at you. It'll eat you alive. It'll destroy you spiritually. Anyone else? Preacher, remember me this morning. Remember me. Let's all stand, please. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. While we begin to sing this morning, Have Thine Own Way, Lord, would you, if you're honest with the Lord, would you slip out? Some of you came last Sunday, but I would venture to say there's multitudes others of folks that need to deal with this area of bitterness in their lives. Heavenly Father, may the Spirit of Almighty God work in our hearts and our lives for your glory and for your praise. We'll give you thanks in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed. Sing the chorus with me. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. I am.
clay. Mold me and make me after thy will while I am waiting, yielded still.
Number 349, as we sing another stanza, please. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Look at the words. Search me and try me. And try me, Master, today. Whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now, as in thy presence humbly I bow. Take the last stanza and sing it with me. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Hold o'er my being absolute sway. Filled with thy spirit, till all shall say, Christ only, always living in me. Would you bow your heads, please, just a moment while these are praying at the altar? One of the hardest things for us to do is deal with the area of bitterness. We have a tendency to not want to be transparent. We want to pretend that everything's all right. I want to tell you from experience that if you harbor bitterness in your heart, it'll eat away at you. It'll consume you when you sit down and when you try to watch TV or something else, mow the grass, all of a sudden your thoughts run about to that person. And in order to be right with the Lord, I had to come to a point in my life I realized I was a prisoner. And I had to say, Dear Lord, I cannot do it in my flesh, but you can do it. And God did it. God helped me to forgive those that have hurt, injured, those that have caused pain and suffering. And I can tell you today that as far as I know, I can look everybody in the eye. I know that I don't have anything, that God can't put a finger on anything and say, you wronged me and you never made it right. I want to challenge you. Do the same, would you please? Heavenly Father, I pray in Jesus' name, deal with our hearts. May we be more alike unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Mold us and make us as we sing this song today. God, help us to see our faults and our failures. Lord, it's often easy to see other people's. It's often easy to point a finger and say, look what they did, and look how they treated us, and look what all the hurt that they've done. But Heavenly Father, help us to forgive, even though they don't deserve forgiveness. It is an act of our will that I willingly forgive those that have hurt me, those that have injured me. I free myself so that I'm no longer a prisoner. I am a free man today because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. We praise you today. We thank you. We glorify you. For we ask it in our Savior's name. For Jesus, we pray. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.